Welcome to another episode, another March Madness version of the Zuch and Wild podcast. And before I'm going to jump out on this early. We have a great show. We're going to talk about Elite Eight, Sweet 16 of the men's side. We're going to get into some of the women's bracket too, because they've been killing it. And then we're going to do a Final Four breakdown. But before we get into any of that, I want to get out ahead. I know I look like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer right now. I was snowboarding all day, and I got sunburned, okay? I know, Zuch, you're from Florida. You might not understand the snowboarding, but that's why my nose is red, okay? I'm jumping on that before anyone else can jump on it.
Hey, I mean, it happens to the best of us. You think just because it's not hot sometimes that the sun can't get you, and it definitely can. Sun is sneaky.
Other than that, it was a beautiful day at Dodge Ridge, although in the afternoon it was like snowboarding in Slurpee, just spring conditions. But speaking of spring conditions, this March Madness has been amazing so far. It really has. I think minus the fact that it's had maybe not a lot of buzzer beaters, the games have been super, super intense.
I mean, you can't ask for much more than NC State and Duke in the Elite Eight. Like, even if you're not a fan of either of those two schools, that's like a great, like, bragging right matchup for college basketball. It doesn't get any bigger than that outside of the national championship, or I guess a Final Four matchup like Duke and UNC. Was it the Final Four that they had a few years ago? Duke and UNC?
Yeah, Duke, UNC. Coach K final game, RIP. RIP, because he must have died with all the media stuff and everything. He must have died. But no, it was really, really awesome watching. And I feel like it's like the perfect blend between, like, this is a great Final Four for a couple reasons. One, I feel like, yes, it is cheap, but to have the two best teams all year actually in the Final Four in Purdue and UConn, yeah, it kind of sucks because, like, I guess everyone likes underdog story, but it is nice to have, like, these two teams have been the best all year. These are the teams that are going to be playing. It's the best players. And we still get a little Cinderella. We still get a little Cinderella with NC State. And entering the frame is Alabama. I did not know Alabama had never made a Final Four before they flashed it on the screen.
The real question is, would Alabama trade a win for UConn? Would they trade that on what, Saturday, to have beaten Michigan?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Honestly, they would probably fire Nate Oates, who's been the best coach and essentially has revived that program from the dead, if it meant they would have won a championship in football last year, in Saban's last year. 100% they would have.
Prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, like turn them in.
But I think the one thing about this Final Four, so NC State, UConn, Purdue, Alabama, is that there's a lot of great big men. A lot of great big men. You got Zach Edey clinging on UConn and DJ Burns. DJ Burns, he keeps captivating America, man. Also,
I'm excited.
Did we talk about it last? Yeah, we talked about it last week too. When Rich Eisen brought up how much you eating nowadays? It's like, I still can't get over that. I love Rich Eisen, but come on, Rich, you can't be doing that.
You can't be fat shaming a big man for a Final Four team.
No, you cannot. But it was not allowable. It was really a lot of good games last weekend. I think one thing that did surprise me was that Arizona, Tommy Lloyd, lost again. From the non-Final Four teams that made it, my biggest takeaway was Arizona choking again.
They do.
And I don't want to every year. And I don't want to say, and look, I'm not saying apple tree. Okay. Maybe I am saying apple trees make apples, but he's a Gonzaga guy. I mean, Gonzaga literally maybe in the last Mark Few's been able to shake that. Would you say in the last 4 or 5 years, he's been able to finally shake that kind of like choke artist?
Somewhat, team? But they're like, even those years that he got rid of it, they were like a one seed or if not the number one overall seed, weren't they? So it's still like, I mean, they have been like a, I guess they were what, a five this year, right? A five seed?
Yep.
Gonzaga? I mean.
Yes. Yes.
Any other big program, Kentucky, and I know they don't get the same players as like Kentucky or North Carolina or Duke, but how much would those fan bases like their coach if they had had all those high, like they've been a high, high seed a lot. I mean, I'll look it up real quick, but they, when I pull up Mark View, first thing I see is arrested.
Yeah, that's the first thing. Mark had a few. There's a reason. Okay, in the last couple of episodes, I've been using this. I've been calling him Mark Have a Few without any context. Mark Few got a DUI, and I'm not saying that, look, people can change, like the one Tim Robinson sketch, you know, but it's funny to see a guy in real time. Usually, like, when you pull the, do you know who I am? It's like the, you're joking with friends, like the, oh, do you know who my dad is? Like, as a joke, like, satirically. If you watch the Mark Few clip, he literally says, do you know who I am? And you cringe, and then you cringe even harder when the cop goes, yes, I know who you are, Mark Few. Right. And it's just like, oh my goodness, this is like the most uncomfortable thing of all time.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so speaking of him, I'm looking at his record right now. So since 2016, because in 2017, I should say, because in 2016 they had eight losses, so they probably weren't super high in the bracket. But they've had two losses, five losses, four losses, two losses, one loss, four loss, six losses. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, it's pretty similar. Like what, like if you have, like that's maybe not a favorite every year, but you are pretty highly regarded to win the national title. And the same thing for Arizona. I mean, they're a two or one, it seems like, every single year, and they just can't. I don't even remember the last time they made the Final Four.
I mean, it had to have been with probably Richard Jefferson and like Luke Walton.
Yeah, in the 90s.
Gilbert Arenas, right? And that team. Like, yeah, late 90s, early 2000s. It had to be. I mean, the only other takeaway I had from Elite Eight, Sweet 16, or the other mega one was, I mean, it was kind of a half and half of, man, Marquette, they shot the smart, lost the, again.
Shot the Vikings smart. Also, of college basketball.
Yeah. Also, the Tyler Kolek jokes need to stop. There was more that resurfaced. There was a video that, and I don't know what it was, but it was the video of him ripping his jersey, and it was like Tyler Kolek, like when they say he has to take algebra 2. It was not okay.
The by far the worst one I saw, and it wasn't even close, as somebody put DJ Burns' face on Adam Sandler from Billy Madison when he's like, and then they put Tyler Kolek on the kid who's trying to read, and he's like, today, Junior.
I was like, not okay. Not okay. This is not okay. We can't be doing this. We can't be doing. I mean, I don't feel as bad because he's hopefully making the NBA and will make a couple million bucks next year. So I don't feel too bad. But Duke, the last thing I'm gonna say about the second weekend was Duke almost had the most lollipop lane to the Final Four. And all, okay, is it messed up to say part of me, like deep down inside, like some sicko, the sicko part of me, it's just like, oh, but what if Duke won it all? And like, then we had a villain again. And then, because you can't hate something that's like pathetic, right? Like, right. The hate has, like, everything about, like, if Duke would have won it this year with Shire, I think you would have seen, like, when's the last, like, Grayson Allen levels of hate? Maybe not, like, Christian Laettner, like, early 90s levels of Duke hate, but I think you probably could have seen some J.J. Redick, mid-2000s, Grayson Allen levels of Duke hate if Duke would have went on a little run.
Yeah, especially if they beat, like, D.J. Burns is, like, beloved by everyone likes D.J. Burns. So, like, beating them and your run, like, the guy at Houston got hurt. So you would have beaten like Houston, who's been so close for 6 or 7 years now, it feels like. DJ Burns, who's like America's sweetheart. And then they get Purdue. Like, if they were to be the ones who ended, like, oh, Zach Edey's in this weird space where, like, half the people are like, every time he touches the ball, they call a foul on the other team. But then, like,
it's interesting with Zach Edey. I'm going to talk more about Zach Edey when we get to our actual Final Four breakdowns and our national championship predictions from the four available. But first, are we the first settle down podcast in the Settle Down universe to talk women's sports on one of the main shows? Wild, Good Old Hockey Pod,
In the End Zone.
Cody's In the End Zone. Are we the first ones?
I believe so, but it was a hyped game that, LSU.
Zucha Wild, we're breaking down barriers, and it is for good reason. The Iowa versus LSU game, I think, broke the record for it broke the record for a most viewed women's basketball game of all time. It had like 11 or 12 million viewers. I was one of them, and people can like hate on it. Like, maybe, and I really hope it doesn't change in WA, but the product of women's college basketball, it's good. Like, yeah, maybe they can't do like the slam dunks or the athleticism, but it's competitive. And it's good basketball.
And it has good storytelling. That is a big thing in sports that people, I think, don't ever want to take into account. And they don't, like, you'll see people get mad on Twitter or whatever about, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is like Tom Brady or something, like Tom Brady being in the Super Bowl, like the 28-3. It is a story that gets people to watch. Not every sporting event has, you know, a great, like a story. And people like us will watch college football no matter what, right? Like, we would watch the national championship if it was Georgia and Alabama in a rematch. A lot of people, I feel like, I guess you could call them casual fans, will be like, oh, like, I'll, like, if I catch it, I will. But if I miss it, I'm not, you know, overly mad about missing that game. But if you have, you know, Alabama, and you know it's Nick Saban said, I'm retiring after this game, and he's playing Harbaugh, and they just had all the filming allegations, people are going to tune into that because they want to see there's more of a storyline in it. And in this LSU Iowa game, there's a ton of, you have the Caitlin Clark
storylines everywhere. Yeah.
You have the Angel Reese storyline.
You have storylines everywhere. And I think that's what kind of like you have Kim Mulkey. I mean, there's just so much. And I think the part of it that you described perfectly is and especially basketball. And the NBA, I think, has had this problem for a little bit, is that, you know, everyone seems buddy-buddy and everything just kind of seems mundane, and then the storylines kick in the playoffs. College basketball, I mean, look, we love college basketball, and you can find niche storylines, but nationally, there really hasn't been, like, a national storyline. I mean, the closest we saw to it, honestly, was the Kyle Flopopowski tripping.
Right.
I mean, that was the closest thing we got this year. I mean, Zach Edey's been playing like this for 3 years, and just now are people being like, what the heck? This is stupid. I'm like, tell me about it last year. I watched this guy versus St. Peter's just like joke. Like, I've seen it was awesome. And to see, I mean, you got Caitlin Clark winning. It's going to be an awesome Final Four. And people forget too that in this women's Final Four, there's Paige Buchers at UConn, who, I remember when she came out of high school that people were literally calling her like high school women's LeBron. Like, she was the greatest women's high school product of all time. And she tore ACL, what was it, 2 years ago or early last year or late 2 years ago? So she missed all of last year. People forgot about her. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark take off and rise to national stardom. And then Paige Buchers goes, hey, don't forget about me. I'm playing with Gino. Oh man, I'm gonna butcher his name.
Ariema.
I have never been able to pronounce that correctly. I don't know. I'm sorry. He's such a great coach. I have never been able to pronounce this name correctly.
His record is like 10,004.
Do you know he's made, I think, and fact check me on this, I think he's made something like 20 or 30 straight Sweet 16s.
Because I've looked at his like Wikipedia page, it is absurd. And like, it's now where I feel like more women's teams are competitive, which I think helps, you know, the sport. I also think, and people might disagree with me on this, the players in women's college basketball and the coaches are more competitive a lot of time than I think the men are.
Well, because you have to think about it too. There's not, hope maybe it'll change in the future with this crop of players that are playing in college right now. And I've seen, there's a video of a high school girl dunking. Maybe like the WNBA approves, but I think that does go in the fact that historically, like playing in the WNBA has not been the most lucrative, to say the least. And maybe it'll change. But historically, it's not lucrative at all to play in. And most people have to take a side job if they want to live a lavish lifestyle. Like, that's how the whole Brittany Griner thing happened, because she had to play pro basketball in Russia to make like enough money to be a professional athlete.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, the WNBA one's kind of hard for me because I think that people will watch like the women's, because it, especially the tournament. I'm not saying, it's not even a men or women thing.
I know you're going with this, and can I pose a question?
Yes.
Do you think the viewership that has spiked in women's college basketball will translate to the WNBA, partially translate, or do you think people are like, people see WNBA and go, nope, not watching that? Like,
the latter, I think.
Oh.
I think it's like you hear about these, like the girl from Oregon, Sabrina.
Ionescu. Shout out Jake Marsh. Sabrina Ionescu.
She was huge in college, and like I know she got drafted to the New York Liberty, but I just don't think. I think it's hard for the WNBA in that regard, in the same way it is for. And it's not, you know, just a WNBA thing. It's the Tampa Bay Rays are really good every year. Extremely good. Make the playoffs. We're just in a World Series. Good every year. But they're not on the same level as the Buccaneers. They're not on the same level as the Dolphins or the Heat. So, and I think that people are going to – same thing for the Marlins. If you want to be like, oh, Tampa's in Tampa, they have the Marlins. Marlins usually aren't very good, but they do have two World Series. Being good, and I'm not saying that like that those girls aren't good in the WNBA, but being good doesn't always translate to viewership is my overarching
what point, I think is going to happen is that I think the needle is going to be moved with Caitlin Clark, and I think maybe to Angel Reese at a smaller degree. I think those two players are polarizing. They're talented. They have personality that shows on and off the court. And especially with Caitlin Clark, I do think you're going to see a viewership bump with her games. Maybe not WNBA across the board. And maybe long term, but I think short term, you're going to see that spike. I was just talking. I'm like, if Caitlin Clark comes to the Bay Area to play, because I think the Bay Area is getting a WNBA team, I'm going to go if the ticket's nice. Like, I want to see Caitlin Clark play and watch her score 30. Like, that sounds sweet. So I think it'll start with her. Will it translate throughout the league? I don't know. But I do definitely think there'll be a viewership / like social media presence kind of like marketing spike through Caitlin Clark. Will it make the league profitable? Probably not. Maybe not. But it'll definitely spike up the worst. I mean, I don't want to judge, but seriously, like the WNBA struggles with viewership in the summer, and I think Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are gonna is doubling it. Like, safe to say, or is that too much?
I mean, no, I think it could happen. It's just one of those things that I think they really need to go all in on those two, and promoting. Mm-hmm. You know, try to work
like a magic and bird. Like a magic and bird.
Well, like try to work some stuff around and get games on, you know, ESPN and like do it. I understand that, like, you have, you know, I think most of their games come on like Sundays and Saturdays that they put on TV, but try to do it on like a Tuesday night in the summer because all you're competing against is, you know, baseball
and people just hanging out in the weekend on the summer. Like, sports viewership goes down as a whole over the summer because people are just out and about on a Saturday.
Yeah, they're out, you know, at the beach, at the river, like out at the bar because it's nice weather out, and you know, like they only get it for a few months here and there. So they need to, the WNBA needs to do a better job at marketing its product. And I've seen, you know, NBA guys trying to help out, and you're never going to, like, the goal shouldn't be, you know, oh, we want as many viewers as the NBA. It's not like, it's not going to happen. That part is, you're not going to get that many people to, you know, watch it, but they could do a better job than baseball and hockey of promoting.
You don't got to compete against the NBA. Like in the summer, you got to compete against the MLB, which look, I love the Giants. You're wearing a Yankees hat. It's pretty localized in terms of like baseball viewership. Like
right. I watch it a lot, but I know most people don't want to sit down and
most people just watch their local team. Like they're not watching. Yeah. Like I'm not watching a Cubs Mets game. Like I'm just not. Yeah. All right. The last thing I will say about the women's basketball subject is the memes have to stop now. I saw all the Haley Van Lith memes last night. I saw the other memes that I'm not going to get into. That app needs to be nuked after seeing those memes from the Iowa LSU game. But Zeus, you told me something before the show started, and it resonates. I think some people are saying this. Some people were saying it online. Was, man, if these memes are just flooding the timeline of a women's sporting event, that's a good sign of things to come for women's sports. If people are just getting flamed on the X.
No, I think, I mean, if you want, and that's part, that comes with the territory of, and like, I saw the Angel Reese thing, and I'm sure she got people who are just being morons, but Angel Reese is pretty cocky. So you have to deal with, you know, you have to deal with the brunt of stuff if you're going to be a cocky player. Like, and she'll be fine. Like, I'm not saying it's easy or like people are right in what they say. Obviously, they're not. But to be up there at the big dogs, you have to be able to handle, you know, what comes with it. Like, you're wearing a San Francisco 49ers fan or hat. You don't think that those guys see all the memes about them when they lost a few weeks ago, a couple months ago? Of course they do. Like, they see it, and they, like, you have to be, like, you have to handle that. It sucks, but it comes with the territory. It comes with the territory, in my opinion. You know, it's the same kind of thing to me as if Ohtani thing. He signed with the Dodgers. If he bats 200, he's going to be hated by them. You don't get
that's a sure bet. Sure bet he'll get hated for sure.
Yeah,
that's a lock.
You don't get the all the benefits and like all the rewards without some of the backlash. And she didn't even play bad, but she's cocky and, you know, did the ring thing last year and was doing like the L to UCLA or whoever it was they played the other day. So comes with the territory, in my opinion.
I mean, it does come with the territory, and it's good because all sports across this country, there's debate and there's hate, and cynically you can view it as, man, this stinks, but you can also take a step back and realize, huh, this is awesome because it's like getting the national exposure. Yeah. All right, we're going to end this show with talking about our Final Four breakdown. It's in Phoenix or Glendale. Have you ever been? You've been to that Glendale Stadium, right?
Are they doing it at the Diamondbacks? Cardinals. I've been to that and the Diamondback. That's what I'm sure if they were which one they were doing it at, because both are ginormous.
I always felt that is one of the things I want to see basketball played at an outdoor stadium. I feel like the depth perception must just be so weird. But anyways, we're going to break down these games as best as we can, mainly just say what we like, don't. But let's start with NC State-Purdue. DJ Burns versus Zach Edey. DJ
That's
Burns.
One I'm looking most forward to.
I got a feeling that the fouling of Zach Edey in the national outrage is going to hit a climax when DJ Burns.
Oh, especially.
I can already tell DJ Burns is going to have like three within like 16 minutes. And people are going to be irate.
Well, especially if it's like there's like 3.5 minutes left and it's what like a close game, 71-70, something like that. And he picks up like his fifth and it's a bad call. Mm-hmm. Then you have there's one team who won't be vilified in the national title, and that's NC State. The rest are like villains. Like Nate Oates is a villain.
People... Although is UConn a villain? Because I feel like everything about UConn, if UConn didn't win last year, I feel like people would be rooting for them. Because
how Dan Hurley. It's like the Kirby Smart thing, right? Like Dan Hurley uses stuff that is.
Well, he's maybe, a psycho. He's a psychopath.
Yeah, he creates narratives to drive those guys, which people hate on. But that is like your job as a coach. Like your only job as a coach isn't to be like, let me draw this play up out of a timeout. Like for the most part, the guys know how to play basketball. Like yeah, you can help them with like things here and there, but there's not too much as the overall head. Like you have a strength and conditioning guy who helps them with that part of it. You know, you might work with them on like their inside game or something like that, or their defense, but you have a defensive guy. His job is to be the CEO and be like, all right, well, you know what? Everyone says that you guys suck. Everyone says our fans suck on Twitter. Like let's use
that. And early drinking his weird mushroom drink. Before every game.
And it's the same thing that Kirby Smart does, and those guys are in the national title or win it like every year. So he's obviously Kirby Smart.
We love talking about Kim Jong Kirby and his propaganda machine coming out of Athens.
Right, exactly.
Keeping it in the SEC, do you think UConn can be stopped by Alabama?
I see this going one of two ways. If Alabama is having one of those games where they hit all their threes, like they've had games where they just hit an enormous amount of threes, UConn hasn't been shooting threes that well, and they've still been killing people. But I think if Alabama wants to compete with them, they're going to have to hit a lot of threes. And if they have a game like they did against Grand Canyon, UConn's going to win by 35 like they have against everybody. They just went on a 30-0 run, which is insane.
I think that is insane. Also, like, Illinois, good. Sorry, Illinois. Like, what did their coach say right before the run? He said something stupid. Like, oh my gosh, I forget what it was, but it was something stupid.
Did you see the tweet of the person who said that they tried to start I guess they do Illini chant that goes like I-L-I, and like they started doing that right when that, like at the beginning of the second half when that run continued, and they were just silenced after that.
The fight in Illini. You know what they needed, honestly? I think if Brett Bielema was there, I think they could have pushed through. They need a little grit in that moment right there.
They need
Brett
Bielema. That is just like
30 to nothing. 30 like, to I nothing.
I was like thinking about this, and I was like, damn, our fans, like Boise State fans, were real mad that we didn't get a 8 or a 9 seed. Had we gotten that and won our first game, would have prayed that we didn't play. Like, with as much as we struggled to score and how good at UConn is at defense, that would have bordered the Utah State-Purdue game. And that would have been bad for the Mountain West to, like, I mean, they beat San Diego State by, like, 30. It was getting off topic, but I'm glad we avoided that, to be completely honest.
They're on a complete roll, UConn. And The thing is, everyone's been saying it, but they can win in so many ways. They can win defense. They can win hitting threes. They can win feeding the ball to their lottery center, clinging, and just letting him go to work. I mean, there's so many things that they can do. Like you said, I think Alabama's only shot is if they just get in the track meet, and hopefully they're not the ones face planting at the end. Like, you just got to go. And, like, UConn can play that game too, but that's your game, and you just got to hope and pray that you can outrun them.
Yeah, and if I was Nate Oates, I would be like, we're just going to live and die by the three, because I don't think you're going to beat them any other way. And if
you're going to have to score probably 70, 80 points to beat
them. And if they kill you and you can't hit your threes, you're an 11-loss team playing a team who has won every tournament game they've played in the last
2 years. Covered every spread. They've covered every spread in the last 2 years. It's insane. All right. Well, Azuch, it's time to pick our national champion out of these four. It's been a very long college basketball year. A lot of laughs. A lot of laughs. Laughing at Jeff Goodman. Laughing at the Mountain West. Just laughing at Brad Underwood. It's just been a lot of laughs. So out of these four, what's your final, your winner, and give me a score prediction.
Okay. So I'm going to take UConn to beat Alabama. And then in the national championship, they're going to play NC State and lose 83-79.
Do you think the ghost of Jimmy V? Do you think the ghost of Jimmy V is going to come on?
There's going to be a ghost might have running came around on my TikTok.
You're buying in.
I'm buying in. I've seen him running around on the court, and
if that doesn't make you get fired, the
boring pick is UConn versus Purdue, and I don't want to do that. So I'm going NC State to beat UConn, and it'd be like one of those things that, like, we look back and we're like, that was incredibly random. These guys, NC State, needed like a buzzer beater to even get in the tournament. Mm-hmm. Won 5 games in 5 days, and then came in as an 11 seed and beat one of their arch rivals. They beat Marquette. And then it just feels like it could happen. So that's what I'm going with.
Tell you what, man, if you don't watch Jimmy V clips and don't either shed a tear or want to run through a brick wall, I don't know if you're human. So yep. I totally get you for choosing that. I, however, did not get any Jimmy V TikToks in my feed. So I will be going with UConn over Purdue. I think I think Klingon in a weak NBA draft this year, I think Klingon's like, he's a projected lottery pick. I truly think he's going to play himself into being like a top three pick this weekend.
And it's a weak draft too, from what I've read.
It's a very weak draft. That's why I think he can play himself. I mean, it's such a weak draft. We'll break it down, but it's literally like top 10 players are getting like Kirk Heinrich comps for like lottery picks. Like, you cannot have that. Cannot happen. So I'm going to go UConn over Purdue, and I'm going to go 77-70.
Well, I'm looking forward to the games. I hope they're good. I would like it not just to be 2 blowouts by UConn, but they have done it, 9 games in a row or 10 games in a row? So
can someone just stop them from covering a spread, please? Just once.
Well, I thought last year, because they were up like 5 on San Diego State with like 5 minutes left. I was like, part of me was panicking because I was like, this is not good if San Diego State wins the national title.
Same. I always like rooting for the conference to get like one, two wins, make it respectable. But San Diego State, they did flirt with fire last year. And I was like, the show will never shut up about this if they win.
Exactly. All righty. Well, everyone watch the game this weekend. We're going to have some good content for you guys after basketball season ends.
We'll have that
long summer.
Long off season. Yes. Reminder. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for signing up for the bracket challenge. So by next week, we will know a winner and we will announce it on our reaction show to the national championship. Just another, the last installment of kind of these shorter shows Zuch and I are doing throughout the tournament weekly. So that's going to be awesome. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. Like Zuch said, we got some pretty sweet content coming up. So just be patient in the weeks after the national championship, because as you college sports fans know, there ain't no off season anymore. It's recruiting, it's stuff, it's storylines, it's everything. And even Birdie's getting excited in the background.
Barking. They just bark at anything. She's barking at the baseball game right now that's on TV. So
yeah. Is that Birdie or is that Frank the Tank? Who knows? They're just yelling.
Yep. He's just like watching that. He's like barking at Bo Bichette for some reason.
Because Bo Bichette's leading the league in errors. That's why.
All right, guys. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
We'll see you guys next week. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.